What's up, everything? Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the Two Guys One Cup podcast. It is, I don't even know what day it is, Tuesday, March 5th. And Ian, it's been a long time, but we have reconvened tonight to answer one question and one question only. And that is love truly blind? How are you doing? What are your thoughts?
Love. No, it's not. It's probably not, right? It's not. I think we've determined that.
Yeah.
After six seasons.
I felt like it would be inappropriate for us to start in any kind of like blues talk or professional talk or catching up talk, because that isn't the random nature that this podcast is designed, you know, has been about since the very beginning. But
that's
it's
true.
Been a long time, Ian. It's been what? It's been like 6 months? How old's your kid? It's been that long.
Yeah, he'll be 5 months this Friday. So yeah.
Dang. That's a lot of months for a kid. That's a lot of months.
I know.
And folks, for the few of you who have reached out over the past several months asking when we'll be back, asking when we'll do more episodes, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, you are mentally unwell. You are a sick, sick, unhealthy person. And you should seek medical, you know, professional medical help. But we love each and every one of you. You know, we're glad for it. We're glad that you're sick, sick, sickos with the rest of us. But you brought us back from the dead. Crazy to think for me to think that anyone would ever be like, "Where have you been?" You know, I've been waiting to hear from you. Not something I believe happens a lot. But Ian, tell us about being a father. How is fatherhood? How's it been?
I was going to say, these people are just here to hate listen. You know, they're like, I need something to get my fucking hate boner on. When are you assholes going to record another podcast? It's been great. It's weird to think of myself as a father, and it's going to be even weirder when he speaks and says like dad to me. Cause I'm like, it's the
He's
age
not
old.
Doing that yet?
No. It's the age old, you know, I'm not your dad. My dad's the dad. I'm just some guy. You don't look at me for answers. Oh boy, that's crazy. They'll look at you and be like, you know what's going on. It's like, no, I'm the same person I was 6 months ago. I got my shit together. Yeah, I mean it's a lot of fun. It's obviously a lot of work. It's about as much, if not more, work than an actual paying job, but you know what, I would say after the first like 2 months, they're cute in the first 2 months, but they're just sleepy. They're just like a sleepy potato. But once, you know, they start being able to explore the world, like just with their eyes and hands and smile at you, and now he laughs a lot, and he rolls over on his own, and you can see like wants to reach out and touch things, like it's a whole nother ball game. It's just like crazy how much they develop, like just day to day. Like, and then you think about how like time works for them. Like to me, I'm like, wow, 5 months, that's really fast. And I'm like, 5 months is his whole born life. And like, I'm like, every day must just be like just nonstop information just slapping you in the face. And it's just like, and minutes feel like hours of you just like, what's even happening, what's like, what are all these sensations and blah blah blah. And then like, you know, weeks fly by for you as an adult. It's just crazy.
No wonder you know, they scream all the time and they're scared all the time. Like, how could you not be? You know,
I go, what do you gotta scream about? It's fine, you're fine. It's fine.
I met the boy the other day. Are we allowed to say it's a boy now? Am I allowed to? We're going public with.
Oh yeah.
I met the boy the other day for the first time. Ian and I, actually, you may think that fatherhood was the reason that we weren't doing the podcast for 5 months, but actually there was a deep rift between us that we needed to repair in person.
Deep.
And we did on Saturday.
A deep socioeconomical rift.
That's right. But no, I met him. He's adorable. He smiled at me. So, you know, that's all that matters.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's been, yeah, He's been awesome. And like, it's one of those things too where I will say, if you're going to have a child, be like me and like just really hunker down and expect the worst. Expect it to be like, expect it to be the hardest thing you'll ever do in your entire life by a wide margin. And it probably is, but if you expect it to be real bad, then it's actually not so bad. Because I was like, he could be crazy colicky. He could just be like, he could just not sleep, you know? Like, there's stuff like that where kids like just go nuts for months and stuff. I'm like, that could be it. Just, you know, need to be ready for that. And it wasn't that, you know, he cried and there were some definitely some long nights and stuff. But if that's what you're prepared for, then it's not as bad, you know? It's AP physics. My AP physics class in high school kicked my ass, and I was like, wow, I guess this is what college will be like. And it is what college was like. It was what year three and four of college were like, not year one and two. So when I went into year one of college, I'm like, this is really going to be something else. But guess what? Gen Ed English is not something else. It's very simple. But yeah, it's been a blast. It's just, yeah, it's kind of nuts. I don't really, it's been 5 months and I still can't really like grasp it totally. Like, again, when I'm holding him, my dad's like, oh, he's looking at daddy, and I'm like looking at my dad, and he's like, no, he's looking at me, and he's like, yeah, I'm talking about you. And I'm like, I don't understand anything anymore. Like, it's just very confusing.
Well, it won't change. I think it'll just be confusing the whole rest of the
I
time.
know. Oh yeah, I know. He's like, we're already talking about like he takes four naps a day, and we're like, we kind of got to get him to like three naps eventually. And we're like, oh, well, that'll just make sleeping at night harder for a while. And it's like, yep, just always adjusting and learning. And it's, yeah, it's crazy. I think it's even crazier too, because like sometimes I'll look at him and be like, yeah, you do kind of like look like both of us, which is what a baby is. But it's just like, wow, that's crazy.
He does. He looks like the parents, which is a good sign usually, but
It's a good
you don't want to take it for granted. So, all right, Ian, not to minimize your child, it was obviously the joy of both of our lives, I would say, but we've missed some pretty significant blues news while you've been out.
Well, I was going to ask
So
Steven. I was going to ask, like, I feel like I've kept up pretty well with the Blues. I'll be honest, folks. I haven't watched a lot of games, a lot of full games, but I feel like I've like kept up to date with like the season.
You froze on me for a minute there, and I lost your punchline completely. Say it again.
Oh, I was just saying, I assume Craig Berube and the boys are doing pretty well, right?
Yes, of course, Ian. I've got some terrible news though.
The boys are gone?
Craig Berube's fine. We won't even touch on that. But Robert Bortuzzo was traded this season. So,
Oh, what are we doing, Doug? Well, it's not
no.
like, well, Robert Bortuzzo is not like the backbone of this team. You would think with this team playing the way that they do, with the city filled with the fans that they are, we're here, we're supporting our players, right? We're getting
We
behind
are doing
them.
that. That is
We
happening. Yes.
love our players. We probably all collectively love Jordan Kyrou.
Oh,
We
well,
think
yeah,
he's been
obviously.
fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of positive vibes.
There's been no speed bump there whatsoever.
No one is blaming him as being the only problem with this team that is on paper just not a very good team. I would say nobody is scapegoating Jordan Kyrou for all the team's problems. And no one, of course, is discussing that he definitely will be traded before his no trade clause kicks in. That's
That's
not
right.
happening.
That hasn't been a conversation that anyone
Yeah,
has brought up. Any
no.
not any reliable journalist
Certainly
anyway.
not credentialed reporters in this town. Of course not.
And we're on
And
our way to a playoff berth. I mean, I
yeah.
think it's pretty clear
And
cut.
as long as we're on that subject, Ian, obviously no one would have suddenly out of the clear blue sky fired Chief Craig Berube with really no succession plan whatsoever in place, just to see what happens. Because that obviously, it certainly wouldn't be. Here's what we can be sure about. It wouldn't be that someone fired Craig Berube specifically because he had problems with Jordan Kyrou and then was still talking about getting rid of Jordan Kyrou later in the season. Like that won't be what happened. So, we should be good. Everything's okay. Okay.
That
No, all
would
right.
be that'd be baby out with the bathwater. You
Yeah.
can't do both. You got to save the baby or the bathwater.
Of course, yeah, one or the other. But I would prefer, I'd always choose the bathwater, but that's
Water,
just
you
me.
can't. Hot water is hard to come by.
Yeah. But no, obviously, people I assume are in on the joke. If you haven't, welcome back to Blues Hockey like the rest of us. But Craig Berube was fired. I believe our last podcast, my last podcast, a sad, lonely boy podcast, was on the Craig Berube firing. Because it's felt a little bit just like an experimental season since then. So, you know, it didn't, I don't know. I should have probably jumped on and done more solos. And for that, I apologize. But it felt a lot like, eh, they won tonight. Eh, they lost the other night. Eh, who cares? You know, like Drew Bannister's not sticking around. Jordan Kyrou's not sticking around. I can't tell up from down and I don't know what's going on. But Ian, we never got your thoughts on the Brewery firing, when it happened, why it happened, whether it should have happened. Break it down for us, Ian. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? How are you feeling?
I mean, you know what? They got out ahead of this. I think we've probably talked before that, like, he was not going to be the coach here that was going to win the Blues another cup, despite him being the only coach I have has won the Blues a cup.
Ian, we said that same thing about Mike Yeo, though. So,
That's right.
can we be trusted?
No, I'm no, but not for those reasons, like many other
Yeah.
reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I think people kind of lost it. I saw when it happened. They're like, why would we do this? This is, it's a he had one more year. Like, this was the final year, right, of the contract. And
I
so
think he have one more after this,
after
but
this, oh, okay.
yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, I saw people like they said this was a season. I feel like the same people that were like, we got to make the playoffs, were then once Berube got fired, were like, I thought this was a transition year. We don't have to be good this year. Like, so why
Of
are we
course.
firing him? And it's like, we probably talked about this or like texted back and forth about this, but like, you can be Doug
No,
Armstrong.
Ian, don't forget we have not spoken in 5 months.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, you gotta keep the illusion for
Due
the
to,
people.
yeah, we had a mutual friend that is no longer with us, and they have heaps of money, and boy oh boy, we fought long and hard for that money.
Yeah, and as it turns out, neither of us got it. There was a will and
Oh yeah, there
everything. It
was
was it went to his family. Who would have thought, you
it
know?
was it turns out
So
if you just try to ignore the will, that doesn't mean
it
that it's
didn't
not
work
a
out
legally
for him. So
binding thing.
yeah, so you know, we put that behind us. I still don't, you know, I don't still think that Ian's a rotten, backstabbing skunk, and he doesn't think that I'm a, you know, filthy, unreliable sloth. So we're fine.
It's
It's all
fine.
good. It's all
It's
good in
fine. You
the
can bury the hatchet
hood. Yeah.
in each other's backs. If Doug Armstrong can say that it's a transition year, and he has said that, in fact, at the beginning of the season, but you can feel differently with the way the team was playing and has continued to play this whole season and be like, this isn't good enough. We need a new voice in here anyways. But on top of that, I always think, man, as the GM, you can say this is fine, but the owner can start looking at this. Stillman and crew can look at this and be like, I need playoff revenue. Like, even if it's just two games, you're guaranteed two games in the first round. I need this team in the playoffs. I need this team relevant. He doesn't seem like a huge meddling owner or anything like that, but that's what I thought when they fired Berube. Was like, it's Stillman being like, we can salvage this and try and at least eke into the playoffs, because I need that money, honey. Because this is going to be year two, most likely that they're not going to be in the playoffs, and I can't imagine you or you can imagine, I should say, that this entire summer it's going to be nonstop talk about, like, from Armstrong, from the media here, that like the Blues will be transitioning, they'll get younger, but they have to get better already. Like, it's not going to be, oh, it's another transition year. It's going to be like,
Yeah.
oh, it's a transition year upwards, it's a transition year into the playoffs or whatever. Like, I just don't think this market think this market can sustain missing the playoffs however many years in a row if you have like a plan. If it's like, oh, this is part of the plan, we're gonna suck, it's a rebuild essentially. But if you're like, oh, we're just trying stuff and you miss like 3 years in a row, it's like, that's not good.
I mean, I think you're right. It's interesting because we never hear from Stillman at
Oh
all,
yeah,
so
he's
we
very
can't really know that that's what he's thinking.
right. I mean, he's very from not hearing from a lot, it would appear that he's very like hands off, right? Plus, he doesn't really seem like a hand like the guy that's trying to take over anyways. But it does feel like, well, I do agree with people. It's like, why fire Berube if it's just going to be like a nothing year? But like, also, maybe you are just getting ahead of it. Maybe you're like, look, we. I don't think this is going to work in the long run anyways if you're Armstrong and you're like, so we just need to get a new voice in here. And it's Bannister for now. I think we would all agree that it's not going to be Bannister at the start of next year. That'll be like an interesting off-season conversation, especially because there's been a lot of coaches fired this year. So I mean, the wheel of bodies is out there. You could get somebody new. I doubt it, but you know, there's interesting
Lindy
names
Ruff,
afloat.
perhaps.
Oh,
That's
no.
the option I want
Oh, looking
least.
to
I
hire
can say
Craig
that.
Berube back.
I'm sure there's an option I'd like less than Lindy Ruff.
Oh,
Ken
probably.
Hitchcock, perhaps, but I'd have to think. I mean, to come up with a list, I'd have to really think about it. If you're gonna give me retread coach, Doug, just please don't give me like 67-year-old guy who's just been mid everywhere he goes.
God, for real.
I don't even really want this, but if you get me Gerard Gallant, I can at least be like, okay, there's somebody, you know? And
Yeah.
I guess I know we've talked about it the other day. Like I'd be okay with Bruce Boudreau just for the lulls of it, you know, even though
Right.
it's not like a good long-term coaching hire, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for somebody younger, somebody more creative, a Steve Ott perhaps, or someone. So yeah, I mean, Berube's gone. Now that we've gotten closer to the deadline, though, I mean, the Blues aren't, I wouldn't say totally out of it by any means. Where are they currently in the standings? Let me check as of tonight.
Oh, they
They
lost
are
tonight. Womp
fifth
womp.
in the Central. They lost tonight. They're 5 points back of the Predators, which is also 5 points back of the last wild card spot. So, you know, generous Blues fans would say, hey, they're still in it. I would not really say that. They are obviously not mathematically eliminated and won't be for quite a while. But I think it's, you know, we've quoted this a lot, and we're kind of beating a dead horse, but Doug has always said the teams tell him what he's supposed to do at the deadline. And when you go out and lay a stinker like they did tonight against the Islanders, that kind of proves that point a little better. So as we will get into deadline talk in a minute, but Ian, we've had most of a season that you haven't been able to comment on. So, is there anything else that you'd like to say? Any other comments you would like to make?
I was gonna say, like, while we're on the topic of like playoffs or like trying to make the playoffs, this was a day ago from, I forget his first name, Matt, maybe it's Matt DeFranks, for the
Yes.
Post-Dispatch, who said, there's the Predators have 72 points in 62 games, are on pace for 95 points this season. In order to match that, the Blues would need to go about 15 and 7 or something like that in the final 22 games. So I mean, they got to win 2 out of every 3 games to even sniff this. And that's also hoping that like the Predators don't pick up the pace or anything like that. So
Yeah, and the Predators have
it's,
been red hot lately.
yeah, it's not been, it's, it doesn't seem plausible or likely that this is going to happen. Which again, we've talked about before, is like just like the worst place, the worst place to be in is like, ah, you just missed. It's like, well, cool, we're not in the playoffs. The pick is middling. So it's not great. I really do think this offseason has to be like a big one for them. Like, just you just can't have like the same crew and be like, ah, we got a different Kevin Hayes. We got Kevin Hayes part two. Is that good? I know you don't drink. But what is it? This team's just very Jekyll and Hyde. Like, I think Jeff Merrick said it pretty well, where it's like, or was it Elliot that was like, some nights they look like they could beat anybody in the league, which I think is a little bit hyperbole, but yeah, like they look all right. And then other nights they just look awful. And I think it was Merrick that was saying, like, he thinks a symptom, or that's a symptom of like having too many players play like up a spot in the lineup than what they're probably comfortable with. And I really do think this team is like 80% that. Like, you're missing a top pairing. You're like, we kind of talked about it, or texted about it, but like, I like Robert Thomas. He's, as you were saying, he's like better than a second line center, but he's not quite like an elite first line center, either. So it's like, and he's fine. Like, he's top six, and that's where he should be. But it's like, we need another one, right? Like, we did, just having him isn't enough. And a lot, I mean, this whole team, I think, like, I gotta look again at who it was. I forgot Sammy Blay was on this team. I forgot Kevin Hayes was on this team. Like, I knew Jacob Verano was here and then gone and then here again or whatever. Kapanen's been hurt and on this team, and like, all these guys are all like, oh, that's a some of these guys aren't even very good third line line players. And I'm like, and we're filled with those guys, and it's just, it's not, that's gonna hit some nights. Just because they are still NHL players, they've got talent, and the other team can have off nights too. But like, more times than not, it's just gonna be kind of like middling or bad. And I don't know. I just don't know how people look at this team, and I don't think there's that many, but I don't know how some fans look at this team and they're like, well, with a hot streak, we make the playoffs. I'm like, and do what? And get like absolutely like shit kicked by Winnipeg or whoever. Like, I would rather, honestly, at this point, like, they just lose all the rest of the games, like, just because I'm like, just get me as low in the standings as you can for like a pick. But it's been kind of just like a frustrating season, I think, just because part of me selfishly was hoping they'd be like sort of fun. I didn't think they would be, but they'd be like sort of fun, and that'd be something I could watch at night when I'm like awake at 4 in the morning and watch highlights and stuff. But they haven't even really been that, and it's been like, man, this has been a boring season. You couldn't buoy me through like waking up at 2 a.m. and being like, let's see if the Blues won. I'm like, nope. Why? I'm like, oh well, guess not. I guess what you're saying to me, Blues, is I have to raise my son in a world where you guys suck, and I can't explain that to him, mainly because he's 5 months old. But like,
That is true. He
you're
does
making
have
it very
that.
hard for me. He's not going to be a fan if I'm like, come look at this team. They pooped the bed for the last 10 years. He's going to say, I don't want to watch that. I want to watch, what's another up and coming sport? I want to watch, esports. I want to watch the lacrosse league.
Ew, I don't like it. I mean, I'm really excited about the Blues' future.
Oh yeah, they've got some nice
Seems like
prospects for sure.
Javorsky's a stud, Snuggerud's a stud, Lindstein and Stenberg. I'm pretty proud of myself for remembering their names. Both looks like solid pieces.
Swedish twins. Did you say
Dean and
Zach Dean was
Bolduc.
like good in the AHL?
Yeah, I think so. I think they look like good complementary pieces. So, like, I'm excited about some of that. I think my big concern with the Blues right now in terms of future planning is just the timing of, like, can they, as ridiculous as it is to kind of say this, I realize because Robert Thomas is in the first year of an 8-year contract, but like, can they turn it around quick enough at this point where they have that defense in place that they then can go into the next phase? Before we're starting to talk about, like, oh, Robert Thomas is nearing the end of his contract, and like, can we extend him? Can we build around him? Is he a number one center? Like, to me, I look at the contracts that we still have on defense, God, they're so bad, man. They're so rough. I know we were talking about this. This is the part of the podcast where it seems like we haven't missed a beat because we've been talking about this for like 3 years.
Yeah, folks, why don't you just listen to that over and over again?
I mean, I guess the good news is we're playing so bad that like those no movement, no trade clauses probably aren't as big of an issue because those guys will be like, yeah, get me the hell out of here. But like, I don't know. It's not good on the defense is a complete. Like the offense isn't a total rebuild. The goaltending, I think you mentioned Binnington, right? I was kind of building up to that, and then I forgot if you actually mentioned him
Oh no,
specifically.
I was gonna say he's like a bright spot
Yeah,
this year.
yeah. He looks legit, which God save me, but I would probably try to use as an excuse to trade him before you're haunted by that rest of that contract. But the defense is still like a total rebuild. Not only do they have the terrible contracts on the roster, but they don't have any prospects. Like, Lindstein is pretty good, but he's like at best a partner for a top pairing defenseman. He's your Jay Bouwmeester to an Alex Pietrangelo, if you will. He's not the Pietrangelo. So, maybe that's one good piece to build around, but they still need the cornerstone guy. They need at least a solid second pairing guy as well, and they don't have any of that right now. I mean, Parayko would be fine second pairing guy if you could use him as that, but right now he's your cornerstone and it's just not good. So, it's been a weird year of kind of mixed results and just feels like you're waiting for the next shoe to drop, and that shoe might be Pavel Buchnevich. Seems like this smoke is picking up around him. We'll talk about that in a little bit and talk about what moves the Blues might make. But let's first get into some of the moves that have already happened, none of which involve us.
Oh, I was gonna say real quick, did you know the Blues are like third worst in shots against? Five on five.
Instinctively, I feel like I knew that, but
I
I
mean,
didn't actually know it.
it definitely feels like it, but 16-09, 5-on-5. Only Chicago and San Jose allow more, and it's only by like 30 for Chicago and 50 more for San Jose. It's like that's what I was going to say, like tonight, especially like looking at that game, it's like, yeah, we score, we get lucky on some shooting percentages, but holy shit. Like, that's part, it's like,
Sorry, go
yuck,
ahead.
man. No, just like you have like teams like Carolina, Los Angeles, granted, these are like tops in the league that have left like 12,000, as like your barometer for like the best. And here we are at like 16,000 or 16,000, sorry, 1200, 1600.
I was gonna say that
I mean,
seems like
sorry,
a
it's
lot of shots.
16,000
I
shots, but like
mean, if you are on a list where the only teams behind you are San Jose and Chicago, you are practically speaking the worst team in the NHL at that thing because San Jose and Chicago are not even attempting to field NHL
I
rosters
know, and
this
like
year. So,
Columbus
like,
has like allowed, it's like two less, but it's like,
it's
man, this is the
less.
sand,
You
this
don't
is the
want it to be
sandwich we're
less.
in. Okay, so yeah, imagine Jordan Binnington's not like playing probably his second best season, honestly, like statistically speaking, outside of the cup season. We're in the tank, baby. We're in full tank mode. Like he's the only thing keeping us afloat defensively. But anyway, sorry, yeah, I just wanted to
How
look at
many
that because I
people were
thought about
calling
that the
that
other
coming into
day.
the season?
For real, like honestly, I mean, good for him. Like his goals saved above average is 10.9 this year, which is yeah, second only to 13.7 in the 18-19 season. With more, it was like I guess by the end of the season. No, already he's got more games played, more games started. Like a 912 save percentage, which is more like 2019, 2020, and things like that. But like it's better than the last two seasons, which was like a 901 in 22 and an 894 last year. Goals against 2.83, but that's just like, again, probably from just getting shot on all the fucking time. And it's still better than last year's or the year prior. So like he's done fairly well. And I was just surprised to see that because I saw some comments in the last couple of weeks where people were like, yeah, he's been really good. And like I said, admittedly, I haven't watched very many of these games. And if they're highlights, I'm seeing a saver too. I'm not really seeing how he's playing necessarily. And I was like, oh, let's check the stats out. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, shit. Look at you go. I'm like, and that's what's kind of disappointing is like he has that the ability to play well. And then if you just have a team like this where the defense in front of him is just so crap, it's like, well, this is a waste. And you know, I don't know. It's just such a bummer when like you have someone kind of going off a little bit and you're like, well, the rest of the team is not. So sorry.
That's the God's honest truth, and it's kind of sad. It makes me kind of sad, but that's the team we've got. So what are you gonna do about it?
Doug.
Doug, this is on you, bud. Figure it out. Fix your shit, Doug. So that's the team. That's the team we've got. We'll talk about the team we might have after Friday's trade deadline. But first, let's talk about the NHL. Let's first of all, Ian, do a quick look at the standings, and then we'll talk about these trades because the standings this season are wild. Most notably, who had the Canucks as President's Trophy
Oh, I
favorites? Am I
know,
right? Or
right?
President's Trophy contenders? Shout out to them. They've been riding that PDO bandwagon, which is the PDO is basically a measurement of your luck on the ice in a hockey game. And they've been way on the lucky side of that for all a long time, all season, I would say. But congrats to them. They're still making it work. They've won 39 games and the Blues haven't. So
Yeah, what is their shooting percentage? It's like gotta be something nuts, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
It's 11, 11, 26. That's, or at least at 5-5. That's, yeah, definitely the best in the league right now.
And if you look at some of the individuals, it's like even crazier than that. But
Oh, yeah.
39, 17, and 7, 85 points. They're doing great. The Oilers, after a very fretful start to the season and fully recovered, I guess an 18 game win streak or whatever they have will help you do that. They have 78 points. Golden Knights and Kings cracking right behind them. I mean, that division, other than the Canucks, has shaked out pretty much how you'd expect. Shaked, shooken, shooketh.
Very shook.
Anyway, it fell out how you'd expect. The Jets leading the Central Division, though, another crazy, crazy outcome. And Connor Hellebuck MVP discussions, I think, are very warranted at this point. Thoughts on the Jets?
I mean, yeah, I definitely thought this was going to be just a Dallas Colorado race. I did not think the Jets were this good. I mean, they're so weird, right? Because like they have all these issues, or they did with like Wheeler and Scheifele and what's his name in LA, French boy, that's my
Dubois.
Dubois. Why not? I thought it was like some like three
Speaking
name.
of disastrous human beings
Yeah.
and hockey players.
But yeah, I mean, I guess they got rid of two of them, Wheeler and Dubois are gone. But like, I definitely didn't think that it was going to be a switch to like them being only 17 losses so far this season. I mean, 39, 17, 5 is really impressive for them. And like you said, Hellebuck just playing out of his mind too. It's too bad, kind of like we were saying about Bennington playing well, but it being kind of wasted. It's like, oh, the Winnipeg Jets, they're playing really well. Oh, but it's in Winnipeg. Oh, no one's coming to watch. I'm like, well, Atlanta, you might be getting a really good team. You might be getting a really excellent team.
If they just go straight back to Atlanta, that would be deeply hilarious if you really think about it,
It's either that or I need them to move the Coyotes to Atlanta, Utah, whatever. And then in a couple of years, when Winnipeg fails, I need them to move them to Arizona again.
Oh yes. Please give me that. Give me that, Gary.
Well, he's
So
trying.
that's the Jets in the Eastern Conference. Panthers have soared to the top of the Atlantic. Bruins are still really good. Maple Leafs are pretty good. But right now, the Red Wings narrowly holding on to the fourth spot in the Atlantic Division. I think that'll dissipate and the Lightning will take it over. But that is what it is. Also, the Rangers are really good. The Hurricanes are pretty good. And the Flyers, unbelievably, still holding on to a, I would say, pretty commanding playoff lead in a division where The Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, and Devils are all below 70 points and all have a negative goal differential, except for the Penguins, who, despite having only 64 points, have a plus 10 goal differential. They must have had like one or two 92 to nothing games. But
Oh,
Metro, I would say, is certainly the division where you would be most surprised by the results, at least with the teams near the bottom. The Devils, as we alluded to earlier, just fired Lindy Ruff, which I think you'd have to do when a team with that much talent, no matter how many injuries they've had, has only 64 points and is second to last in the standings in their division. Thoughts on the Metro before we jump into these trades?
yeah, I mean, I think. The East, I think the East is definitely more. I don't know. I guess both are kind of confusing on both sides. It's like I didn't think Minnesota was as bad as they were, or as that they're showing they are. And I was hoping Seattle would be a little bit better, but like I guess over in the East, like yeah, New Jersey definitely thought they were gonna be a playoff team, thought they might win their division. Pittsburgh makes sense. Washington makes sense. I don't know why. It's just like it's just so funny to me hearing like. Jeff Elliott on 32 Thoughts be like, man, it's weird seeing the Capitals and Penguins down here. And I'm like, is it weird? I
Yeah,
mean, I
it's
guess
not
it's
that weird. They're
weird
super
like
old.
historically, but like
Well,
it's
not
not
even
weird in the
that. Both of
last
those
5
teams have,
years.
yeah. It's
Like,
weird in the Ovi Sid era, but both of those teams have been super shitty in the past too. So it's
yeah.
not that weird.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it kind of makes sense.
The Capitals have probably been one of the worst overall teams in league history when you really think about it. How bad they were when they expanded and then
Oh
getting bad
yeah.
enough again to draft Ovechkin.
Like literally the worst like expansion team. And then to me, the saddest thing in the East, like just the saddest thing is the fact that and we'll do it again. We'll fucking do it again like we got fucking Alzheimer's. The summer
Undoubtedly
we'll go, man,
again.
you know what? I don't know if those teams in the Atlantic can hold those playoff spots. I think Buffalo and Ottawa might take one of them. I don't know. They could really turn it up this year. Well, they didn't, and they won't, and they never will. They're just perpetually not good, perpetually promising but not good.
Yeah, seriously.
It's so sad. How could you be Ottawa and how could you be 1 point away from being last in the East? Like, I know they have
Dude.
injuries and stuff. There's another thing
No,
too.
no, no.
No, no,
Don't
no.
give them an out
But
on
that's the
this.
other thing though too, is they'll be like, I can't even remember that guy's first name, but Norris, they'll be like, oh, he's,
Josh.
yeah, Josh Norris, like, you know, he always hurt, you know, we hope the best for him, you know, when he gets back next year, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude,
Give it up.
it's over. Like
It's over.
at the
Find a new
like
show.
on the third Jaden Schwartz injury, I still wanted him to play, but I wasn't like, well, this guy's gonna play 82 games, I think, for the rest of his career. It's like, no, it's like he's made of glass. And Buffalo, like, here you are, folks. I haven't even looked up his the stats for Tage, but remember the whole conversation was it last year or the year before, where it's like, man, was that trade for O'Reilly? Was that actually Buffalo Sabres, they get a better shake out of it. And it's like, no offense to Tage, and maybe he's had a good season, I don't know, but the
He
team he's
hasn't.
on,
He's been awful.
yeah, it's like it's not working. So yeah, oh, I guess that trade actually was pretty good. Man, I don't know, I give up on them. I give up. I won't say it. I'm not going to say it this summer. It's like the Leafs but in the regular season instead of playoffs. I'm like, you got to do it. I need to see you play well and make the playoffs. And until you literally do that, I will never believe that you'll do it. You literally have to do it. I refuse to be freaking gaslit into this shit again this summer when both of them do like one big trade for I don't fucking know who. Like, you know what? Like, Buffalo Sabres are gonna get like Logan Couture from like the Sharks or some bullshit, and they'll be like, oh, this is veteran leadership, and this is a guy that scored like 80 points in this league or whatever, except he's fucking 38 or whatever. And they'll be like, this is the kind of savvy move that fucking Kevine, you know, pulled out of his back pocket there. And they'll still suck ass. And
Yeah.
I hate this because I want Buffalo to be good. In fact, I want Ottawa to be good just because that pisses off Montreal and Toronto. But I don't know. I can't imagine how those markets feel because like I'm riled up for them. But like it would bum me out so hard if every
Yeah.
summer they're like, look out, and I'd be like, stop, don't give me hope. For Buffalo, the fucking the I always want to call them the Chargers, the fucking Bills, it's like the same bullshit too. Except
Yeah.
you make it to the playoffs every year and you get pretty far, and then you just meet Patrick Mahomes and then you get your shit kicked in.
Course.
God. And it's
But at
cold.
least that's Patrick Mahomes, you
Yeah, for
know?
real. At least you're like, I'm running into like the best quarterback. Like, real quick, because we haven't talked about this either. That man, ice in his veins. That guy won, what
Oh.
is it? Like his third Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Maybe that's because it's old hat now. But like, he fucking won it in overtime. And the first like interview they give, he's like, oh yeah, it's a really good game. And I'm like, a really good game? You just won the Super Bowl. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, but I'm like, so this just doesn't, things don't faze you, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
Very
I think
impressed.
that's correct.
Sorry, Buffalo. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad because I'd like to see some new blood shake out in the Atlantic, but it's not going to, I don't think, anytime soon. So I don't know what to tell you. I
I don't know.
just
Did
don't know what to tell
Jeff
you.
live in Buffalo? Because I don't know how he did it.
He lived at Niagara. I think it was in Buffalo. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a little bit better. I would
An
have jumped
absolute
off the
hellscape.
fucking falls.
Well, of course, you'd have to. I mean, they're there. So why wouldn't you, you know?
That's so cruel. It's tempting all the residents of Buffalo. It's right there.
It's honestly, how do we not see more cases of people going over? Anywho, wow, that got dark. But let's jump into the trade. Let's rapid fire these trades, Ian. Elias Lindholm, the first big domino to fall, goes to the Calgary Flames. Goes to the Vancouver Canucks. The Calgary Flames get Andre Kuzmenko, who was unhappy with Rick Tocchet. Hunter, not even going to try. Johnny Germo.
Wow.
Wow. How do
These
you?
are
Okay.
just made up people.
Brushtovich? I don't even know. I can't even pretend to know.
It's BRZ, folks. It starts with BRZ.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a sh sound, but I don't know how to pronounce it with the brsh part. That's awful. Johnny Germo, that's got to be a Finn, right? 100%
Oh, yeah,
Finn.
for
We got
sure.
to look this up to confirm, but that's 100% Finn. There's no way this would go. Yeah. Oh, that's the most Finnish looking dude I've seen in my entire life. Let me confirm. Oh yeah, he's in Liga. Look at this dude's face, Ian. Let me share my screen so you can see this dude's face. This whole face that he's got. Can you see that man's face?
Oh,
That's as Finnish as it gets, baby. All right, Johnny Germo, he's going back. And
yeah.
then you got a first round pick from this year. It won't let me stop sharing my screen, and a conditional fourth round pick from last year. I thought it was a pretty good haul for Calgary. But I also think that, you know, Vancouver is in a spot where they're competing maybe unexpectedly a little bit. And I think they were right to take the plunge here and try to make something happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's you're probably punching above your weight class a little bit this year, but like also maybe sometimes it's all you need. I mean,
Yeah.
sometimes it's all that matters, and he's a rental anyhow, right? Like this is the last year of his contract, and you just signed they just signed Pettersson or extended him, and like I think that's gonna smooth out some of their recent play because they've been in a little bit of a downturn. But yeah, I mean, no one saw it coming, but they're a good team, and they've sometimes you just ride that freaking PDO bender. Sometimes that PDO bender's the whole season and all the way to the cup or whatever.
Sometimes the PDO bender rides you.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it just don't stop.
That's right.
It's just always fun when like the Flames or Edmonton or the Oilers or Canucks like trade with each other because it just feels like illegal in some way. Like you
Yeah.
can't give them Elias Lindholm. They hate you.
Yeah, that's true. They had a good little side. I love the Puck Soup podcast now, by the way. I know I've mentioned that, but
That's very good.
All due respect to Greg Wyshynski, who I have no problem with. Those other two guys on their own just match my energy so much better. But they had a conversation the other day where they were like, Vancouver Canucks fans, unlike all other fans on a PDO vendor, are saying, like, what if we're the team that's actually figured it out? What if we're actually special? But
Are the
anyway, it was.
chosen ones?
Was funnier when they did it. Sean Monahan, after months of hearing that Sean Monahan was demanding a first round pick, or that the Canadians were demanding a first round pick for Sean Monahan, and then people saying that's crazy, there's no way Sean Monahan will get a first round pick. The Montreal Canadiens get a first round pick for Sean Monahan and a third round conditional pick dated to 2027. I have no additional thoughts on this move, Ian, do you?
No, it's just kind of crazy that Sean Monahan, who like pretty much fell off the map, like played well enough in Montreal with a crappy team that someone was able to get, a first round for him. Hats off to Kent Hughes. You did a great job there, buddy. Sean Monahan, proud. Like, I don't know. I just think that shows how weak the market is for centers at this trade deadline. I mean, Elias Lindholm was obviously like number one. And then he's off the board, and it's like Sean Monahan's number two. Because really, who's after that? Who's out there currently? Adam Henrique, Nick
Oh, yeah,
Dowd.
baby.
Like, it's very thin. So, I
Oscar
mean,
Sundquist.
Oscar Sundquist, folks, gonna be interested in Oscar Sundquist.
I feel like we'll get like a fourth for him, and I'll still be heartbroken that he's leaving again, even though he's obviously can't stay forever.
He'll come back.
Yeah, he'll be
He's
back.
like he's like
It's fine.
uh it's like a lesser David Perron,
Yeah, he's like a boomerang.
That's right.
If he loves something, let it go. I don't know why I'm so tired this tonight, Ian. I'm hyped up in the podcast, and my
That's because this
energy's
trade
low as a
deadline's a
result. That's
bore.
it's a snooze. That's why Emil Bäckström went for Alex Nylander and a conditional sixth round pick. Alex Nylander, most famous for being slightly more successful of a Swedish younger brother than Henrik Lundqvist's younger brother, slightly younger brother, older brother. They're twins, right? So I don't know which one came first,
No,
but
that's right. Both
in
very
any
handsome.
case, I have no more thoughts on that trade either. Do you?
Oh no. Oh
Got a
no.
couple of three teamers coming up. Let's talk about Ilya Lyubushkin. Why did it take a three-team trade to
Yeah,
get
no.
Ilya Lyubushkin?
For real.
The reason is that the Anaheim Ducks had to retain 50% of his salary, and the Carolina Hurricanes had to retain 25% of his
How much
salary.
were they paying him?
I
Like,
don't.
I mean,
Yeah,
I guess the
no,
Maple
it's
Leafs
like
just had
one.
no space, but
Yeah, it was like
still.
under 2 million, I think. But the Maple Leafs get Ilya Lyubushkin and Kirill Slepets back,
I love that
and
name.
surrender a third round and a sixth round pick. Ilya Lyubushkin, notably, Ian, not good at defending, and also a former Maple Leaf. Any thoughts on this decision?
Yeah, I can only imagine that many people in the front office were yelling at their new GM and telling him, "We already tried this one." Said, "Yeah, but we didn't try him under me,
That's
though."
right. It'll be different because it's mine,
Good job,
but
Treliving. Good job,
yeah,
Brad.
of course he's doing great.
That team should not be buying. There's a
No.
couple of teams that should not be buying. I think we were talking about like the Predators. Like, they're probably making the playoffs because the Blues aren't going to bounce them out of that spot. But like, then there's talk about like the Predators buying, or like friend Justin sent me that tweet from some reporter quoting Barry Trotz about like, the prices out there right now are like insane. And it's like, Barry, they're saving you. Don't do anything, you
Yeah.
weirdo. Like, you're the second wild card team. Just have fun. Just go in there and have fun. What are you trying to do? You're trying to fucking buy? Oh man, they're
Well,
saving you, Barry.
Luke Evangelista needs a winger or a center or maybe a defensive partner, or is he a
Like,
goalie?
yeah, like, do they need stuff? For sure, but like,
Yeah.
don't do it.
Yeah, for real. Final three-team trade. Chris Tanev to the Dallas Stars. The Devils jumped in and got a fourth-round pick to retain 50% of his salary. Not a bad deal to jump in on. This is a 2026 fourth-round pick, but hey, if you've got the space, why not? Artem Grishnikov goes to the Flames along with a second-round pick and a conditional correct stop it conditional third round pick, excuse me, and the Dallas Stars also get Cole Brady back. Chris Tanev is a defenseman, there's no denying that. He also, when asked why he chose the number three after wearing the number eight in Calgary, said that it was kind of like half of an eight.
I knew it. I knew
So,
you'd say something stupid like that.
yeah, so I'm not sure it's all there between the headlights for Chris Tanev, but hey, when you need a big body to hit some people, you don't have to
Three is
worry about
half of eight. Like, oh, okay. And then he's the number one defenseman that's out there, or was, is, like, it's bleak, folks.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a bad trade deadline for sure.
Give me something spicy.
Let us talk about Curtis McDermott to the New Jersey
Oh no, I
Devils.
said
Let's
something
not
spicy.
talk about that. The Avalanche got a seventh round pick. So let's talk about who is out there. Jake Guentzel. Oh, we didn't talk about what's his name? What's his nick? The guy, Anthony Mantha, went to the Vegas Golden Knights
Oh, we
for
did?
picks. Yeah,
Wow.
so. Who cares? Can you tell me what team Anthony Mantha was traded from, Ian?
The Washington Capitals.
You got it. Hey, he hasn't been out of the game that long, folks. He's back
That's
with a
right.
vengeance. Let's talk about the big headline names who might be traded, who have been discussed in trades, along with some of the Blues, potentially. You've got Jake Guentzel. He's a pending UFA with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it seems like there's no chance he's going to re-sign there. So Jake Guentzel is out there and
Yeah, he
is
gone.
expected to be traded by tomorrow night, according to a report I saw today. Jacob Markstrom, his name was discussed. Seems like if he goes anywhere, it'll be the Devils. He's been playing pretty well this season. Noah Hanifin leaving the Flames as well. I'm pretty certain that he'll get moved. Probably the best defenseman available. But according to Elliot Friedman, only really interested in going to the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. So we'll see. Sean Walker is a defenseman, I believe. He's not the guy that sang Temperature, right? That's Sean Paul.
That's right.
And he's not the guy that sang Fire Burning. That's Sean Kingston.
That's right.
So this is Sean Walker. Okay, just
Yeah,
wanted to make sure.
this is a much more important person.
Different Sean. No, it's not. Nobody's more important than my king, Sean Kingston. I didn't call him my king, even knowing his last name when I made that joke. That's crazy. Adam Henrique is available, though I don't know why anyone would want him. Frank Vetrano is available.
I looked up Frank Pietrangelo because I was like, who is
He was an
this?
all-star this year, I believe.
I for a guy that's played in this league for a while, I honest to God feel like I don't know who this person is. I looked
Yeah.
them up and I was like, you've been in this league for like 7 or 8 years. I don't know you. I don't know
I don't
you.
know if it's because this is actually something I did in the last NHL whatever game that I played, or if it's just something that I have associated with him. When I hear Frank Vetrano's name, I get the vibe of like in a chill franchise mode when you sign like the 75 overall fourth line winger because he's got like very good potential, and you're just like, let's
Oh
see what happens. Let's give him 7 minutes a game and see if he turns into Connor McDavid, That's the vibe I get whenever I hear Frank Vetrano's name. Alex Winberg is probably going to leave Seattle. Matt Dumba is in Arizona. Vladimir Tarasenko, never heard of him before. He's in with the Ottawa Senators. And Tyler Toffoli potentially leaving the New Jersey Devils. Not a king's ransom of players out there. And Ian, I will go out on a limb that even including Jake Guentzel, undisputedly the best available player in my mind is Pavel Buchnevich, if he is in fact available. This guy's been a point per game player pretty much for 3 seasons. He's taken a step back this year, but not a huge one. He's still a very good player. I know some fans have weirdly gotten on the like, we got to get this fucking bum out of here bandwagon somehow. And I don't know how that happened. I mean, it's one of those weird things where it's like, I feel like because we haven't been haven't been as involved in Twitter on the, podcast this year. I feel like when we stepped out of Blues Twitter, we were in the same place we've always been, where people were like, the team's good, you just have to believe or whatever. Like, we can't trade fucking like Nathan Walker. That guy's a pillar in the locker room, And then I stepped back on there in the last couple of weeks and started to get more involved, and it's like, this team fucking sucks, which is fine. That's where you should be, but that's where you should have been for the last like year and a half at least, and you haven't been there. So
Who could have seen this coming?
the Buchnevich stuff is just crazy, because I've seen a lot of tweets that are like, you have to trade this dude. And I'm like, you don't have to trade this dude. There's like a full year left on his contract. And like, you couldn't even be that upset if you kept him, So like, you can't argue to me that you have to trade this guy. But it's, it's, I would, if I'm reading the team leaves right, if I'm reading the tea leaves right now, if I'm handicapping it, thinking about how much we've heard about his name out there, which we don't usually hear about Blues players' names, I think he will go. I think he will be moved before the deadline, because it just seems to me like Doug is trying to drive up the asking price from a couple of key people. And with two playoff, I wrote an article and talked about how I really don't think you have to rush the decision. Obviously, you can have more suitors in the offseason and take your time and weigh the trades, and I do believe that. But if some team's going to see the value of two playoff runs with this guy at an affordable deal, if you're going to potentially eat half of the salary remaining, and get the return that you would get for that, the potential return on this trade, I think, is pretty significant. I mean, pretty huge. I would think it would dwarf any of the returns we got last year for our other UFAs, and we got pretty good returns for some of those guys. So, where do you stand on Buchnevich? Obviously, we love him as a player. I would love to see him stay a Blue for a long time, but I just don't think, with his contract situation and his age and where the core is at right now, it makes sense, unless you can are confident you can trade three or four other bad contracts before next year, So, what are your thoughts on the Buchnevich situation?
Yeah, I mean, as a player, point per game seems like a nice guy, like actually fits on this team fairly well. Is really consistent. I would love to keep him, like just in a vacuum. Like it's like, yeah, I've signed the guy, extend the guy. But yeah, like you said, he's gonna be in his 30s pretty quick here, and he doesn't really fit where this team currently is, and how much is he going to be, asking for, on a next contract? And is it going to be more than what we can afford, like moving forward in terms of like trying to maintain cap flexibility? The cap's going up, but it's like, I don't know if that's enough, or if you really want to go ahead and allocate all that just to one guy for one contract. And then he's probably going to be looking for like a max deal, or like hoping to get a max deal at least. And so I don't think you're looking at a guy where you can say, oh, we'll give you like 7 a year for like 4 years. How about that? Like he's just going to go somewhere else. So I mean, I agree. I think it's the best thing to do is move him. And I also agree too that like if he doesn't get moved, it's not like, oddly enough, it's actually not like a failure of Armstrong or something where it's like, what did you do? You couldn't, whatever. It's like if there's ever a time to like just hold a price, it's now. I mean, maybe you could go down a little just to make it work or make the money work or something. But like Buchnevich, given how well he's played and the fact that he's got another year on his deal, another year of control that teams really like, he's probably worth more. I mean, it sounds like from reports from like LeBron that the asking price the Army has out there is like the same thing that Calgary wanted for Lindholm, which is a first two prospects and like NHL player. And you can package that however you want. Maybe it's only one prospect instead of two, and it's just like a blue chip prospect, or maybe, it's no prospect somehow, and it's the first and like a really good NHL player that's, under contract for a while or something. So you can move the pieces around, but it's something substantial. And once Gensel's gone, like you're gonna get other teams calling about Buchnevich. Like I know Vegas just went out and got Mantha, but that's like depth, right? That's like down your lineup depth, and they need scoring help with Stone out. There's Buchnevich. Edmonton always need scoring help, like outside of their two-headed monster. Like they had issues last year in the playoffs when, you know, you've shut down McDavid and Draisaitl. Who else is scoring on that team? And then Carolina for sure. I think they mentioned in 32 Thoughts, like the goals just completely dried up against Florida last year. Like they just could not score. And granted, Svechnikov was hurt, but like, you know, you can never have enough scoring. And so there's teams out there that I think could definitely be interested. And I would agree with you. I think the fact that his name has been talked about a lot, like I thought maybe, and it kind of was at the beginning of like trade deadline talk picking up in the last couple of weeks, like his name was out there, but not like a ton. He was always just sort of talked about like, oh, there's also Buchnevich, but now it feels like there's definitely like, well, he's not going to be a UFA this summer, but he's out there and there's, you know, sounds like Armstrong's, you know, fielding calls about him and has his price out there. And yeah, it would behoove him not to cave on that at all. There's no reason to. But outside of Buchnevich, then, like, you just have a bunch of UFAs that I don't even know what interest they would garner or what return they would even get you. Like, Kapanen's there. Vrana is there, but no one's taken him. Blaise, Sundqvist aren't very much. If anything, maybe, honestly, Scandella gets you something just because someone's looking for, like, third-pairing depth, seventh guy or something. You know, he could get you, like, a fourth or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, it's just clearing that space and getting whatever you can for them rather than just having them walk this summer. Because I don't think they're definitely not re-signing Vrana. I doubt they're signing Kapanen, or at least they shouldn't. And like Blaise, Sundqvist, again, those are cool guys, but like those are like fourth line dudes. And anytime they're like, oh, they're also third liners, and sometimes like, no, they're not. They're fourth line dudes. So it'll be interesting. I definitely think the Blues, if you like, there's been, I guess, like, was it last year? What did we do last year? Anything? Or yeah, we did.
Oh, we
What
traded a
we
whole
trade?
bunch of people last
Yeah,
year,
we
right?
traded O'Reilly, Tarasenko. But I guess I was gonna say, there's definitely been deadlines where we just did nothing, right? Like there was like the Leddy deadline, right? I think we're gonna be getting more than that. Like I think we'll definitely be getting at very least like three or four bodies out the door just because you just get rid of UFAs. But I agree. I think Buchnevich is, what would I put it at right now? I'd say I feel like six. Like it sounds like I'm not super confident saying 60-40 that he's going to go, but like it's more than half. I do think it's pretty, I think it's a good chance of it for sure. I mean, there's, look, I've seen people say like, oh, I don't think any GM is going to pay a big price for Buchnevich. Like if the price is high, I'm like, you really don't. Cause some of these people are fucking stupid. Like Peter Chiarelli works for us.
I'll tell
Like,
you what else too about this year. I mean, I think this is a good conditions for a potential, like, you know, one of those kind of Martin Erat for Philip Forsberg
oh
kind
yeah,
of trades
give me a weird one. Give me like something out of the blue.
for two reasons. The first reason is it we've talked about, there's just not many people that are valuable that are available. So if you need to, if you feel like you have a clear need, then you go out and get it. The other reason though is, you know, these standings are wide open. We talked about it earlier, but you've got the Canucks who, you know, PDO monsters, whatever you want to call them, obviously having a crazy season. At the same time, no one believes that the Canucks are like top Stanley Cup contenders. You've got them leading one division. You'd probably say the same about the Winnipeg Jets. Like maybe Connor Hellebuyck can take them, carry them to a cup, but you can't actually believe that they're full contenders. You know, the Avalanche are probably hungry to do something. The Stars, you know, are contending. The Panthers are going to want revenge on last season. The Hurricanes could feel like this is their year with the island, with the get fucking Islanders and Flyers potentially being their path to the, you know, within their path to the playoffs, to the Stanley Cup. The team I think that absolutely needs to do something big is Edmonton. They have to, you know, this should be their year. After making the coaching change, having the comeback, having the streak, Stuart Skinner's playing really well. They this should be the year that they go all in and try and get it. So, like, I think there are teams out there. Everybody needs a Pavel Buchnevich, you know? Like, you can, it's almost easier to picture a team adding a winger at the deadline than it is a center, even though everybody wants the center depth. But if you already have like two top centers, you're not going to necessarily go out and get a third center, even if they're really good, like Elias Lindholm or something, because you don't want to bump like Sidney Crosby or whoever down the lineup. Nobody has four wingers better than Pavel Buchnevich. Probably nobody has two. So, like, every team can make an argument for why they should add him. I just think the circumstances are right. The fact that he is probably the best player available and has that other year, I do think it'll happen, but I'm also not going to sit here and be like shocked or disappointed or anything if it doesn't. That's just how the trade deadline works sometimes. So, you know,
Yeah,
where I'm
that's
at.
like the You never know, and then you get to hear the press conferences and everything afterwards. But yeah, I would love for there to be some just like wacky, like large, dare I say, hockey trade that is made.
I feel like Edmonton gets him with the Ken Holland connection. I think Philip Broberg is a piece that will make a lot of sense for us as a young defenseman who's already kind of NHL ready. Vegas, I would say, probably out of the running a little bit with Mantha, but Carolina makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I could see, I don't know if Army would do it, but I could definitely see the friggin' Avalanche making the offer. You know, I think it's a situation where if you get blown away by an offer, even in the division, you should let him go, you know, because as much as I love Buchnevich, this also isn't a situation like you're trading Brett Hull or some piece that's been a huge part of the franchise for a long time. He's been here for 2.5 seasons, you know, and he's been great. But take advantage of whatever offer you get. But now that we've said all that, the Blues will probably do butt ass nothing at the deadline, and we'll be sitting here in a week or two picking up the pieces. Any other thoughts? Anything else you want to touch on? Love is blind, professional wrestling,
See.
human Michael.
Even Michael. That's deepest of deep cuts. Love is Blind is a real mess of a show, but it brings people much joy, including ourselves. So just keep
I
going.
have never watched it before this year, and I had a house guest here for a couple of weeks late last month when it was just starting, and she was watching it, and I got sucked into an episode, and like I can't stop. It's such a disaster. These people are train wrecks, and I know it's all fake, or like a lot of it is fake. I don't care. It's such great fake drama. Not like I'm a wrestling fan, so how can I criticize anything else for being, you know, scripted or predetermined? Phenomenally good show. So if you just want to trash out and laugh at other people's problems for an hour and be like, what, this woman is psychotic. Ian, you can guess which woman I'm talking about, but she's got actual she's I'm scared of her. Yeah, it's a good show. I've enjoyed it.
It's I sometimes I can't believe the people they put on here find, and then I also think that like the two hosts or whatever, Nick Lachey and his wife's something else. His wife really loves getting these people's business when it comes to like the reunions. You'll see. It's very interesting.
I do love, I know you mentioned it yesterday, or when we spoke on for the first time in 5 months on Saturday,
That's
but
right.
Sunday, but I think it's hilarious how they're still trying to like force in the experiment. Like
Oh,
it's
yeah, it's
six
an
seasons
experiment.
in and they're still doing the, you know, you'll meet at the altar and we'll find out is love truly blind? You know, and it's like, okay, we get it, but we're not here to find that out anymore, right? We can all agree this is trash.
This stuff
But
is trash. No, it's an experiment.
it's a
It's a
serious, thoughtful experiment
scientific experiment.
done by serious, thoughtful people. And I don't know why you keep suggesting otherwise, Stephen. You're right.
Netflix is
Quality.
quality. If anything, it's quality science.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Ian. I'm the one off the reservation here. But man, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. You want to do another one sooner than 5 months this time?
We'll make it 4 months.
Yeah, you gotta wind down, people. I'm
We gotta keep
tired.
people wanting,
You're tired. You have a kid to wake up for. There's a trade deadline in 3 days. Shall we call it a night?
I think so. I think we've given people exactly what they need.
Yeah, you've got your shot of two guys, one cup of
There.
Ian.
Can stop
And
fucking shaking like a junkie.
yeah, seriously, but seek medical
But yeah,
attention.
we feel for you, please.
Yeah, please take care of yourself. Guard your
Folks,
own.
I also I thought about this the other day because you said, folks are messaging like, when are you guys gonna record next? Where are you with tweets at us, or I don't know, do we have an email address, emails, postal cards? When we say you control this podcast and its content, this is no lie. This is no joke.
Preach, preach.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us what you want. God, just tell us. We're here to please.
Yeah. Yeah,
We're two
seriously.
doormats of a human beings. Just please. Please
Seriously.
like us. We'll do whatever you want.
It's beautiful. All right, Ian, I'm ready to get to bed, and I'm sure you are too. So thanks to everyone for tuning in. We really do appreciate anyone that's been waiting for this show to come back, anyone
We
that's
do.
listening to us. It's been, I've missed it for sure, and I'm sure Ian has as well, but he's responsible now. He's an adult. Me, for the record, fucking nothing has happened in my life in the last 5 months. But for Ian, a lot of stuff. So we're glad to be back, and we'll be back again very soon. Until the trade deadline, we wish you all the best. May Pavel Buchnevich be traded for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl with half of both of their salaries retained. And may the Blues win the Stanley Cup this year. So let's go, Blues.
See ya.
Show you that I'm winning.